Hi, I'm Sam Smeltzer, and you're listening to the Heartworker Book Club podcast, where we talk about the powerful cultivation practice of reading and writing to inspire both personal and professional growth. We chat with authors about their stories, their books, and the art of the written word. Welcome to the club. I'm so happy you're here. Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Heartworker Book Club podcast. I'm so excited that you are here, and we are continuing these kind of like prep episodes for the actual book club that is kicking off next month. So if you haven't gotten your books yet, get them, because the beauty of this virtual book club is that you can read along with us, hear the conversations, process with us. It's probably like an introvert's dream because you can be passive, but then still interact with us later on. So that's kicking off next month. And so what I have been doing, last month I talked about my nonfiction reads because the new thing that we're doing this year with Book Club is the participants have actually picked the books, where in the past I have often picked the books, which left the question of what is on my reading list. And so this gave a really cool kind of opportunity for me to share a little bit about what I've been reading. And I do read nonfiction and fiction. So traditionally, the book club is all around nonfiction. If you've ever been to my office, I have a massive nonfiction library. So huge library of reference books because of my deep educational research needed roots. You know, that's where my love for books really was. But there is something about fictional books, and that's what I wanted to talk about today, is the power of fiction and the use for education, but also the use for rejuvenation. So I'm going to be very honest here, and I think I have said this before on the podcast, and I'm sure I have said it in other places where people have interviewed me because I am an author. There is this assumption that if you are an author or a writer, that you love to read. And I think there is a distinct difference between loving to read and loving books. And so for me, I love books. I love the wisdom, the stories that they possess. The act of reading, the act of reading, on the other hand, is something that I don't actually enjoy. And I sometimes get frustrated because if I can't understand something, if it's taking me too long to get through a book, I really start to disengage. And that's why some of the tactics and how I read nonfiction that I shared in last month's episode, that's how they came to be. I mean, I think, you know, Jeff Olson in the book The Slight Edge, empowering you to read just 10 pages a day, and then even me backing that off to saying 5 pages a day, just some sort of reading from these books is enough. You don't have to get through a chapter or you're like this massive failure. And as I started to integrate that practice and that habit, what I realized is I was finishing books and I was gaining wisdom and even gaining insight from a couple of pages. And I remember the first time when I was doing that habit, I actually was in the middle of doing a heavy, like couple of weeks of speaking engagements. I think it was right when I launched my business. So I was doing all of these free talks. And so basically saying yes to everything. So I was traveling in the car a lot, obviously, to local gigs and doing these talks. And I would listen to audiobooks and then have the actual physical books. So that's a weird fun fact about me, is I have the actual book because I love books, but I also love listening to other people reading the books, like story time. So I'm a avid audiobook listener as well. And I would listen and then read, and then I would do these talks, and then it would just add this other layer because of the processing I was doing, the reflection I was doing, the growth that was happening as I listened to these nonfiction reads. And so I became obsessed with that a little bit. And as you can see, I usually have a huge stack of nonfiction books that I'm slowly chipping away at, but fully recognizing that as I chip away at them, the learning that's happening, the growth that's happening is unbelievable. So much so that this year for the book club, what you're going to see is that they're tackling all three books at the same time. So they're basically reading them in the same way that I'm reading mine. And I did that intentionally. I think, number one, it was challenging for the book club because they are readers for the most part. So they can sit down with a book and kind of dive in and immerse into it. And so using this process of jumping from book to book or diving into different books on different days was a little strange. But then these layers start to emerge, which is what I'm really excited to share with you, is the depth of what comes out of these books and the growth, which really highlights why I love books and the power of them. Like every time we go back to a book, it can be something different. It can unlock other things because exactly where we are in that moment in our life is different than the last time. And so it influences us. It influences us differently. So that's all to come. Now, obviously, I'm talking a lot about nonfiction because that's what people know. I mean, if you know me personally, I'm always making recommendations to a nonfiction book. I drop them a lot in other podcast episodes. I interview a lot of nonfiction authors on the Heart of It podcast. But today I want to talk about fiction because we don't talk about it at all. And in fact, I think last year or maybe the year before, at some point I felt compelled to share some of my favorite fiction reads because there is something really powerful about fiction. And I have not read fiction for a very long time. I mean, the last time, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I read fiction now, but there was a huge chunk of time where I did not read fiction. And the reason for that was because I was immersed in nonfiction, as you can tell. But the last time that I fell into fiction and was loving reading fiction was actually when I started my first HR manager job, and it was during training, which I just think is completely ironic because me and Jeff Harry, who there is an interview on the Heart of It podcast, he's a regular, he's a family member of the Heart of It. So if you want to check that out because it's a great conversation. But we were talking about how to identify like trainings that basically are not adding a lot of value. And so my first training experience being an HR manager, I had so much downtime that the trainer that I was shadowing and working with to learn how to be an HR manager for this big box retailer said to me, you know, you should really bring a book so that you can have something to do in your downtime. And I was like, a book? Like what? And she loved these fiction novels and said, well, here's a couple of my favorite authors. And so I went to Target or some bookstore, picked them up, and spent that summer immersed in some of these books. And what made me think of this story is one of the books on the list today is by that author that I spent that whole summer reading while I was in training. So it was just, so there's a little bit of irony, you know, reflecting back on that story and then to where I am today and the things that I'm passionate about in my work. So the beauty about fiction is, number one, it allows you to get away in a way that is not numbing yourself out like we do when we're binge watching in front of the television because the electronic kind of exposure is not there. When you're reading, it is fully activating the brain. You know, your imagination takes over. I was just talking to somebody about, you know, when you read things in books and the images that you create in your mind, it's really hard to unsee those images. And so I was talking to somebody about how we have to be somewhat selective with what we're going to choose to expose our mind to in book form, because some of those can be just super vivid and somewhat traumatizing if we choose to. And it's amazing how words can come alive like that. And they just give you all kinds of feels, and they take you to all different kinds of places. And it's just kind of magical. And what I found with fiction, and I was very grateful to a friend who made me go back to fiction. He made me go back to fiction. I forgot about getting lost and transported to these magical kind of places. And it really is an escape. You know, the growth and the wisdom and the knowledge in the nonfiction is magical, but the ability to take us to places and allow us to be in somebody else's mind for hours, days, weeks is a beautiful gift. So much so that I know that I've read series where I was so upset when the ending is not happy and it's tragic and I lose these characters, almost like I'm losing a friend. So before we get to this list, I think it's important to talk about, and I'm hinting at it, why fiction came back into my life. You know, personally, I've talked about this. I don't know if I've talked about it in as great detail, but there's been, you know, whispers of it if you've been following my work. Obviously, my work started with me at the core of it. You know, I don't ever do anything with organizations or with people that I haven't done myself. That's always been a number one rule. In fact, even if we go back to training, there's a lot of activities that people will think are really dumb in a training situation. Nothing I've ever done in a training space is not something that I wouldn't do or haven't done and had amazing outcomes with. And so as I was doing this work, I quickly became a guinea pig number one for everything. So as you look at all the branches of my work and where it's gone, I've done it all before I've shown it to you. As I was on this journey, I realized that it quickly became a wellness journey. And, you know, I think at some level I knew that employee engagement and wellness were linked. I didn't know how intertwined they were, and quickly became to realize that my inability to stay engaged in the workforce was actually more correlated with my personal wellness and what was happening to me physically, emotionally, and spiritually with the organization and companies that I was working for contributing to that and impacting that. Long story short, I went through all kinds of health. So like health professionals and specialists, and you saw this kind of happening where I was working with everything from CrossFit trainers to nutritionists of all different kinds, powerlifting coaches, and had, you know, more of a physical kind of presence of how I was physically working out. That came to a head when I realized how much stress was affecting my body in all capacities. So even the physical stress from a workout was having very negative impacts on my body so that it couldn't heal. And so that halted all of those high power kind of physical workouts. And I entered this stage of doing some very slow moving meditative kind of things, which is when I found yin yoga. And that's when Qigong kind of made its presence known as well. Part of that, looking at the impacts of stress on my body, has been the exhaustion and the recognition that I just push it all the time and don't really rest. And even when I would go away, I wouldn't really disconnect. And very early on, this is pre-pandemic, it was identified that, you know, I do have a very introverted nature. And even living in a household, being married and having kids, my time alone for recharge was very limited, and it was recommended to me by a dear friend and my spiritual coach that I integrate times where I can just be me and have that isolation and that solitude to just rejuvenate. And so on a bit of an experiment, I went away. And as I was preparing to go away for a weekend, just, you know, little like cottage in the woods kind of thing, he asked me, what are we going to be doing on this weekend? Which I thought was a really stupid question, but apparently it wasn't. And he laid down some ground rules that, like, I wasn't going to bring my laptop, I wasn't going to work. And he even went down to the books and said, none of those nonfiction books are coming. You need to read something fun. You need to find a fiction book that you enjoy. And so what's interesting about that weekend away, I thought, well, I have a tendency to really get into a fiction book if I put it in my audiobook and listen to it on the drive. And so having a 2-hour drive to the lake, and then having the actual physical book, I thought, well, maybe I'll just kind of dump into that. And I went back to the author from back in the day when I first started reading fiction, and found her next book, which reading the blurb on the back, I thought, this is not going to be interesting at all, but whatever. I don't really want to think about this too heavily. I'm too tired. And found myself immersed once again that weekend in this book. And it was this beautiful getaway. Like, it just elevated my getaway there. The other thing that I realized and learned as I was listening to that book, so the author is Emily Giffen, and one of the books is in my reading list right now that I'm actively reading, which is The Lies That Bind. It is my fiction read actively right now. And the one that I'm referencing, I believe, is All We Ever Wanted. And Emily Giffen is known for, if you saw the movie Something Borrowed, it had Kate Hudson in it, and I can't even remember the other people's names, but really fun, kind of light-hearted books, which is what I loved back in the day. Emily has recently started publishing books that have this layer of complexity and also are hitting some issues that I didn't think could be hit in this kind of fashion. So kind of like drama, I guess it's like drama, but still light on some levels. I don't, she just has this beautiful way of intertwining it and going to those depths and then coming back out. And so what I found was, especially that book from that weekend, was I was learning and I was unpacking and I was processing things that I haven't gotten a chance to do. I mean, the book puts you in a space where you are, and that book in particular is written from multiple different perspectives. And so you're seeing it through all these different lenses, and getting to be in those people's shoes. You know, like the beauty of these books, you know, and this is where it's lost in movies and when it's transitioned to TV, you don't hear the inner monologue. And in the books, you hear the inner monologue. You see the motivation as to why a character takes action, and you really get to see the web that is woven by the dynamics of relationships and that lead to horrible and beautiful things that are happening. And that book with by Emily Giffen is what I think gave me a window to really embrace books, especially fiction books by people of color, when we were in quarantine and when the horrible tragedies were happening with George Floyd and the just ugliness rising to the surface that we knew was always there. And I found myself, like many, trying to unpack my personal identity, but also expand and learn, knowing that I'll never fully understand, but at least open my heart and my mind so that hopefully I can be part of the movement forward to hopefully change and be part of the healing and the restoration and the change to a better world for everybody. And I found some beautiful authors. My absolute favorite is Brett Bennett. And she wrote The Vanishing Half and The Mothers. And both books, which I've gifted to several people, just incredibly moving experiences that put you in a place where I would not, I mean, it's probably the closest I'll ever get to it being immersed. And I like literally have no words, because it was a gift. It's a gift to be shown from an intimate lens in that fashion. So fiction can be this great teacher and a different kind of teacher. And so I don't think we should ever discount that fiction, because it's not based on fact, is not sharing a story that's not worthy to be listened to and saturated in and taken in on the deepest level. So with that being said, you know, my fiction reads, I fall into them deeply. I may start off a little bit, but once I get going, I fall in. And I think one of the biggest things that's really important is to find authors that you love and can fall into. So I've already mentioned Brett Bennett. Emily Giffen is one. The Lies That Bind, which is the book I'm actively reading. Highly recommend it if you love any kind of light romantic reading, but then a really deep kind of complex weave. I mean, she basically starts out of the gates with the romantic plot line, and I think, how can this go for the entire time? And then it slowly becomes this really beautiful, intense story. I don't know. I'm still in it, and I've fallen in deeply, so I'm actively carrying it around and reading and listening as much as I can. The other author that I absolutely love is Mary Kay Andrews. Hello Summer's on my list. I would pick up any book that she has. Love Mary Kay Andrews. The books are just funny, they're light, and they are just an escape for me. The other two things that you'll see on my stack is I usually always have a poetry book. So I always have something that if I'm too tired to read an actual book, but I need an escape, I will have a poetry book that I will read. And the other one is a nonfiction book that is for fun. So this is like the hobby book. So what I have, and a dear friend recommended this to me, Rachel Pollack's Tarot Wisdom, because I recently uncovered the intricacies and the levels of complexities and stories and layers that are woven into the tarot deck, and want to know more. And so this book takes you through card by card. And once again, it's just something that I can read just for fun. I mean, yeah, it double dips a little bit with my work, but there's no pressure. It's really just for me personally. And I've even found myself, you know, using tarot decks recently for me personally, and kind of keeping oracle decks more so for clients. So it's just interesting how things start to become for me versus for others. And I'm sure that will evolve and change sometime, but that's kind of where I'm at. So that's my active list. With fiction, I mean, the books change so quickly because I usually go through them in a couple of days, with the exception of like the Tarotism and the poetry, which will basically be carried around until I finish the one, and the other, unless it's replaced with another poetry book. So, but actively, that's kind of what happens. Usually I've got this little stack, and this is usually right by my bedside because I try to let my reading before bed be more of a fun and you know, disconnecting kind of read rather than an intense activating the brain. This is when I will also pull a poetry book out or the tarot wisdom or kind of like hobby-like book. If I'm really into a book, if I start to read it at night, I'll stay up all night to finish it. So I have to be mindful of that. So that is my fiction reads that I wanted to share with you, but I wanted to share with you kind of the thought process as to why I think you should pick up some fiction. And I'm trying to incorporate more because I know that there is a restorative practice that happens, which I don't know. I can't like tell you the tangible things that are happening, but it feels different. It feels refreshing. And even when I'm home and I have a couple of days where I take an hour a day that I'm immersed in one of these books, I feel like I had a vacation. So there's just something that's happening at a deep level within when we give ourselves permission to just check out and follow someone else and let their mind be our mind without questioning it, without us having to process things and move along with it. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye. And next month, we will be kicking off the book club. So Ben and Liza and Karen will be back. We will be reading Think Again by Adam Grant, The Mamba Mentality that's on Kobe Bryant, and Living Buddha, Living Christ by Han. And these are conversations you're not going to want to miss. So get your book so you can read along with us. And I'll talk to you next month. See ya. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Heartworker Book Club podcast. I hope that it served you. And if it did, the best way that you can support this podcast is by leaving a review on your favorite listening platform. And until next time, happy reading and writing.